On this episode of the Formula Fun podcast, Caitlin and I preview the Italian Grand Prix and discuss other pressing matters such as whaling and Daniel Ricciardo's beard. Stick around. The Italian Grand Prix has been a race ever since there's ever been Formula One Grand Prix.
When did Formula One start?
They started the Formula One, there was the, like, the, I think, the first year of the World Championships was in, like, 1950?
Okay, relatively recent.
Pretty recent. But the Autodroma Nazionale di Monza, right, or whatever, has been around since 1922.
Since the 20s, yeah, I read that. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's neat that the Italian Grand Prix has been around. No other Grand Prix has, like, been a Grand Prix every single year.
So it's always been a Formula One Grand Prix. It's always been on the roster.
Right.
That's cool.
It has not always been at Monza.
Okay.
One year it was at Imola, which is another very famous racetrack in Italy that people love a lot. In fact, I think that's where Senna died.
Oh.
Was it Imola?
I thought it was in Japan.
No.
Or that's when he crashed. Something happened in Japan. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But, in 1980, the Italian Grand Prix was at Imola. But every other year it's been at Monza. And Monza is a real, people like Monza a lot.
Looks like a shoe.
It does. It looks like a shoe. Monza is known for being a really fast, the highest speeds are at Monza. The highest speeds of the whole year are at Monza, which means it's the fastest you'll ever see the Formula One cars go will be this weekend.
That's cool.
Yeah. Kimi Raikkonen has the fastest ever lap in Formula One.
Go Kimi.
Monza. Yeah, go Kimi.
Nice.
That's this weekend. They had free practice today. Charles Leclerc was fastest.
Yep.
Which brings me to another important thing about Monza, that the Ferraris.
Right.
It's their home track.
It's their home track. Yeah, that's exciting.
It's cool. It's cool.
It's just all historical and storied, I'm sure.
Yeah. In fact, no other, they kind of mentioned this during free practice today that I was watching while I was...
Also at work.
Multitasking. No other team really has, like, a fan base. You know, like...
You don't think?
I mean, there are, like, people who are Mercedes fans, and there are people who, like, we see,
I mean,
people
we
with,
see,
like, Red Bull,
yeah,
shirts,
I was gonna
and
say,
stuff.
We
yeah,
see
yeah,
those
yeah.
people out in the wild.
But there are
Red
no...
Bull?
But there's no other... But Red... Yeah, but no other... But people, like, they like the Red Bull, like, I would argue, at least, people like those shirts more than they like Red Bull.
I think it's just new, so it doesn't feel like a fan base. It feels like maybe a trend, but if they were around, I think it's just the longevity of Ferrari.
Maybe. But the fans at Monza and the fans for Ferrari, you know, they're not necessarily Vettel fans or Leclerc fans. They're like Ferrari fans. They're hardcore, like, soccer style Ferrari fans.
Yeah, that's funny to me.
Yeah.
I'm so much more into, like, who the drivers are, not like, oh, this team is my team.
Yeah, they go wild for Ferrari. You know, they go nuts for their Italian car manufacturer.
Right.
Race car manufacturer.
Well, that makes me think, like, I was thinking today about, like, Sebastian Vettel and Leclerc being on Ferrari, and how Vettel doesn't seem like Yeah, like a bunch of Italians are like, love this guy, he's so great. I don't know, like, but Leclerc, I saw on his Instagram he had like a video of, I don't know, some sort of fan reception. And it was kind of cool because, you know, he speaks Italian.
Probably, he speaks like seven
Yeah, well, he wrote a, I could be mistaken, but I think he does speak Italian. And I don't know how Italians in Monegasque are, you know, I can't keep up with Europeans and how they feel about each other, but it must be at least kind of cool that he like speaks their language. Like he wrote like a subtitle or whatever to his post, and it was in Italian.
Yeah.
You know, and that's got to be kind of a cool connection. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe. Vettel speaks Italian too.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
he went out of his way to learn Italian.
Yeah, I almost feel like it'd be compulsory or something to like show respect to Ferrari.
Which I thought is really cool. Vettel's a cool guy. You know I love Vettel.
Yeah, I mean, he's cool.
He like does interviews with the Italian media in Italian, and he
speaks
to his team in Italian over the radio and stuff. You know, when he wins, he's like, grazie ragazzi.
Yeah, right.
Which is Italian.
Yes. It's a very distinctive language.
Right. I learned that grazie ragazzi means thanks, boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, ragazzi. Like Reggie, there's something in there.
Something Latin. There. Some root.
Yeah. Like, anyway.
Guys. Thanks, guys. Grande macchina. Great car. Grande macchina. Grazie, ragazzi. He yells stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like machine. Great machine.
Right.
Great
machina es lo mismo en español.
So not only is Monza Ferrari's home race, and Ferrari have those fans, like Mercedes have their home race too, speaking of their fans. Oh, and another thing about Ferrari fans, you should know, they're called, they have a name.
Okay.
They're called Tifosi.
Oh.
Which is Italian for fan.
Okay.
But that's kind of been like reappropriated just to mean Ferrari fan.
Wow.
And there are some people who are like pedantic about it, and they're like, technically that means fan, you know, but like Tifosi, right, but Tifosi means, like a Tifosi is a Ferrari fan. And if you're a Hamilton fan, you may be referred to as Ham-fosi.
Wow.
So a little play on words there. Beautiful. So now you know a little bit more about Formula One today.
Yeah.
So the Tifosi, you should know about that. The Tifosi will be out in full force.
That would be nice. Weekend. A little change of pace from those.
I feel like it just cut off for a second, but we're good. Oh. Go ahead.
Well, all those like orange people.
Yeah, all the Max fans.
Yeah.
It'll be red instead.
Well, both, I guess.
Yeah.
They'll still be there.
I don't know how many Dutch people will go to the Italian Grand Prix. Maybe a lot.
Probably just like a 3-hour train ride.
Yeah, Max travels well. His fans travel well.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal, obviously, the Ferrari home race. And not only the Ferrari home race, but the Ferrari cars, because of their dominant engine power, should do really well at Monza, because Monza is like a power circuit. You said it looks like a shoe, like long, straight, little quick chicane, long, powerful curve, little quick chicane, long, straight, like just... lots of straights.
Oh, yeah.
And even the curves, like they have names like Curva Grande and Parabolica, are pretty much just like flat out.
I like that.
I know, right? That's Hugo drinking.
Yeah, Hugo. He's thirsty.
Hugo's joining us for the podcast today.
Hugo's a cat.
Hugo's the cat, if you haven't deduced that yet.
he needs his water.
So power circuit Monza, like, as opposed to Spa last week, where it was also a very power heavy circuit, but Mercedes still had some advantages at some portions of the circuit. This circuit should be like all Ferrari. So that's kind of neat, because Ferrari has a huge advantage at their home circuit.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'd like to see another Ferrari win.
Would you? Are you becoming a closet Ferrari?
I'm okay with Ferrari. I've never had the whatever.
Animosity.
I was like acrimony. Towards Ferrari, but that's probably, I just don't know. You know, I don't know.
It's just like Ferrari fans. It's kind of like being a Yankee fan.
Yeah, that's an see that everywhere. That's isn't that Mercedes? Or I guess no, because no, yeah, Ferrari. Ferrari's like yeah, historical and whatever.
They're the big bad. Ferrari are more the big bad guys.
I just like the drivers. Yeah. And I don't care about the team. I like drivers, and I like the two drivers in Ferrari.
Yeah.
If Hamilton was on Ferrari, I'd probably be like, eh, who cares?
Okay, you mean you'd still like Ferrari?
No, I mean, like, I wouldn't care, because I don't really care about Hamilton or pull for him at all or feel the need to or whatever. I mean, he's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Namaste. Hamilton.
Right. He posted, speaking of Hamilton on Instagram, he posted like a bunch of people slaughtering whales.
Oh, good.
Did you see that?
No, I don't. I unfollowed him.
Because of stuff
Sorry,
like that.
Sorry, Ham. Yeah, I was like, this is way too much.
And he was like, this isn't okay. In no way is this okay. In his like pseudo-American accent. And I'm faking now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have, you know, my theory about how he's intentionally becoming American.
Yeah.
And
strange.
And I was like, well, you know what, Hamilton? People gotta eat, bro.
Whales. Gotta slurp up the whale blubber.
Whales is good eating for some people.
For Inuits.
Right.
Yeah, actually, that's, you know, they live in a food scarce environment.
That's what I mean.
It's like a whale. Is that what it was? Like,
no,
kind of Canada?
Really.
No, it was probably like Japan. Like,
no, they looked, they were white. I wondered, and they were like, they were wearing sweaters, and so they wondered if it
Nords?
Was. Nords? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't know if they're eating them. Maybe they're like making lipstick out of them or something.
Yeah. I was just like,
I don't know what they do up there in the frozen north. Yeah, right.
Anyway, so.
Was he like. Yeah, did he have, like, a plan of action? He's like, donate here? Or he's just like, whales, not cool.
Yeah, more like that.
Hmm.
You know how he feels. He's a lover.
Yeah.
So because Monza has such a power-dependent circuit, one kind of neat thing you'll notice this weekend is that the rear wings of the car will be really, really, really little bitty. They, like, actually literally change the rear wings.
Wow.
Like, at Monaco, they have big, like, big fat rear wings because they want the car to be pushed to the ground. They don't go up. They need as much downforce as possible. Here, they want the cars to be as slippery as possible, so they have these little bitty rear wings.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's okay. Really slippery.
Well, don't, like, with all the straights, like, they can just use DRS and, like, aren't straights kind of, like, I don't know, I'm revealing my ignorance. I feel like there's something about, like, having straights and, like, overtaking, and it's kind of frustrating for the sport, or...
That's, you're on to something there. Straights can be, like, it depends on the kind of the nature of the straights. Like, straights followed by heavy braking zones.
Mm-hmm.
Are often create overtaking opportunities. Straights that just go into like really fast corners though don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So like for example, it's kind of hard to pass at Monza because of the wake created behind the car just makes it, you can get so close but not close enough to pass. And yeah, maybe there will be some DRS opportunities to pass, but the nature of Monza is that it's difficult to pass because you're going really, really fast through corners where you're losing downforce through the corner, which just slows you especially badly.
I see.
And it's kind of like that, the way Ross Brawn, who's the the Formula One chief, was describing it, I know, is almost, which I thought was I'd never heard it said this way before, but the wake behind the car creates like a protective bubble around the car, so you can get so close to the car, but then your aerodynamics are disturbed.
Right.
And so your car just becomes slower, so it's like, and then you slow back down, then you get close, and then slow back down. But yeah, so speaking of which, that's kind of a good segue into qualifying because the Ferraris should qualify on pole because they're the fastest cars.
Mm-hmm.
Leclerc, which is how you say it, apparently,
yep.
If you're snobby, has out-qualified Vettel now 6 times in a row.
Ooh.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Qualifying tomorrow morning, so maybe 7. The idea would be, you know, you would like to qualify out on pole and then get far enough out in front where you're out of DRS range.
Right, okay, yeah.
That would be a good strategy. Vettel is especially good at that.
Mm.
That was like
good at starting?
Good at controlling the race from the front.
Okay.
That's what you hear about Vettel's like race craft, is that when he was at Red Bull winning all the championships, he could get out into the front, qualify on pole, and then break the DRS range, control, you know, go pit, and then control the race from the front. Whereas some people could battle and battle in close quarters and win races like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be...
I mean, that doesn't sound as, like, skillful as
yeah,
being able to battle it out. Like, I'm really good at, like...
driving away
from not home. Having someone compete with me for the front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe not. I mean, there's definitely a skill to it because you have to go out and beat, and you have to be like, you have to put together a perfect left up, perfect, you have to be
right.
perfect
yeah.
enough to get far enough away from
everybody. Of course,
everybody,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first 5 laps have to be almost like qualifying perfect laps. You know, I can't afford, Hamilton's chasing me, I have to get 6 seconds away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, I can't afford to let him stay within 2 seconds of me. So let's see what else. I guess maybe the interesting thing about this, huge race for Ferrari. Huge, huge race for Ferrari. They should win.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't win, it will be a gross embarrassment.
Oh.
Because they have the best car for this circuit. In fact, some people...
You never know.
You never know, because Mercedes is so good, but they have a car almost even, like, some people are saying, I mean, this is kind of cynical, but some people are saying that they have designed their car just to win at Monza, because it's like, we have the, you know, no downforce and just super powerful engine. We just, you know, we can't afford to lose Monza. It's like, you know. So that's one story. Then the other story will be, what if Leclerc comes and wins again?
Woo! I feel like, you know, he's got a lot of momentum now. Like, this could be, you know, a shift to where it's like he's really something, like someone everyone's going to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and not just that, but will they start to treat Vettel like the number 2 driver?
Right. Well, last race, they told him...
Yeah.
To let him pass.
Right. They did already kind of treat him like the second driver.
Yeah.
And how is Vettel going to respond to that? So this is like 6, 7 qualifyings in a row he's been outqualified. Last race, 2, like Leclerc only needed 1 pit stop and Vettel needed 2. Vettel was just like struggling with the tires. He couldn't take care of the tires and Leclerc could. So there's just like all around Leclerc's just made it look easier and better than Vettel.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's kind of like, well, not really. Well, who's better at Ferrari? It's pretty obviously Leclerc right now.
Right. Well, yeah, each race, I mean, we'll see. We get more
Vettel
data.
Needs pole.
Yeah.
He needs pole tomorrow.
Okay.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huge confidence boost for him to get pole tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Because that's his only chance of winning the race, I think. That's his style, like I was just saying.
Right, right, right. I mean, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, I mean, I'd be happy to see either one win.
Me too. Me too. The interesting thing about all this with Vettel and Leclerc, this is going back a few years, a little history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vettel was at Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Red Bull brought up from Toro Rosso a young man named Daniel Ricciardo.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in 2013, or 14, 14, I think. And that year, Daniel Ricciardo resoundly beat Vettel.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they were on the same team.
Yep, for one season.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
And Ricciardo just handed it to Vettel. He out-qualified him, passed him on track,
mm-hmm.
won more races.
Wow.
And this was a year after Vettel was world champion.
Yeah, wow.
And so Vettel was 4-time world champion. He was the Red Bull golden boy.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do nothing wrong. Daniel Ricciardo comes into the team and just beats him. Just makes him look silly.
Mm-hmm.
And Vettel leaves for Ferrari.
Okay.
And so everyone looks at it like, well, when Ferrari offers you a drive, yeah, you take it,
right,
on one hand. But on the other hand, Vettel's running away from a fight. Vettel's never lost before. This new kid comes in and starts beating Vettel, and his reaction is to leave. And so now here we are. New kid on the block, Charles Leclerc,
yeah,
comes in.
Well, where would Vettel go, though?
Where would Vettel go, though? That's exactly right.
This is just, you gotta deal with what's in front of you.
Maybe he would retire. I mean, honestly, some people think he might retire.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, there's some speculation he might go back to Red Bull, but then you would just be going
back. That'd be so weird, yeah.
Yeah.
And they asked to compete against Max.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that.
No, who would want? Yeah. Who in their right mind
would? Or maybe Max will go to Ferrari.
Yeah, no kidding.
They can switch places. That'd be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Max and Leclerc, that'd be so wild.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, wee, wee,
wee. Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of like frenemies.
They are. Yeah, they're like the two young best for their age or whatever.
Yeah, like they've been like racing together. Right. And like all the other like guys that Leclerc's been racing against his whole life, you know, like Gasly and
Norris,
like they're all buds. They're like, yeah, you know, we'd go out for juice after whatever. But then like, yeah. But then like he doesn't say that about Max. He's like, yeah, we've been racing against each other for a long time.
That's it. Yeah.
Like, they're not friends. Maybe nobody invited Max anywhere. They're like, he's weird. Let's go before.
Hurry, Max is coming.
Yeah, right. Oh.
Like, oh, man, Alex texted Max.
Yeah, right. Like, don't answer it.
Yeah, I could see Max just
being kind of a dick.
No, not at all. Honestly, no, I don't think so.
No, I like Max.
Yeah.
Despite his Max Raw campaign.
No, it's not his fault. I did realize that's because it's like G-Shock. They're called like G-Shock Raws.
Yeah, because they're raw denim. Oh, wait. It's not denim?
I thought it was because for the watch.
Mm.
Maybe it's for the denim. I don't know.
I think, yeah, I don't know. We'll do some research. There's a lot of things we don't know.
I know. But anyone who sim races, you know, Max sim races, uh-huh, right? Oh, did you know Carlos Sainz is getting in on that now, too?
He started sim racing?
Yeah, with Lando and Max. Like, I
feel like Lando's like, come on, you can come and do this with us. He's like, okay.
I know. All right, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Sure, I'm not really doing anything.
I'm going to bring my little dog.
Yeah, Carlos has a dog too.
Carlos has these, like, I think at least one, maybe two little, like, weird, little fluffy white dogs.
I knew it.
Yeah. It's a little.
Don't say it.
Yeah. Weird. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
That's all. Because I think he, like, travels with him everywhere. I might just be making this up. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm spreading a lot of misinformation.
No, it's okay. I mean, you could check it.
Yeah, we can do like a what is it, like New York Times, like corrections, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. We're not journalists. We don't claim to be journalists.
Yeah.
Don't come here
believe anything we say.
I also saw there was, speaking of Carlos Sainz, Lando put a picture of Carlos, like a meme,
mm-hmm,
of Carlos. Right. And it was him, it was his face on a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Carlos Science. You know, because that's
so stupid.
I know. But that's how he says his name. He says Sainz.
Yeah.
Sainz.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz. So I was like, hey, I've been making that joke for him.
Yeah, y'all are buds.
They are buds. And I feel like Lando's brought out, like, a lot of personality in Carlos. Because before he drove for McLaren, like, I didn't know anything about... he just seemed like kind of like a quiet, just Spanish dude.
Yeah.
Was kind of reticent.
He's
kind of goofy.
Yeah, I was probably just, like, cowed by Alonso and just... I don't know. under that shadow or something.
Well, he drove for Renault. How could you have any personality at Renault?
Yeah, yeah, maybe you think, like, Ricardo's, like, light is under a bushel at Renault. I feel like maybe he is a little less...
You gotta be depressed at Renault.
Oh.
Just, they're getting worse and worse and worse by
the they're not doing well.
They're spending more and more and more money and getting worse and worse and worse all the time.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
He made that decision.
Which is weird. Speaking of Daniel Ricciardo, there was an interview with him. He's growing a beard?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that's my big news.
Yeah, cool. Beards are great. Yours truly has a beard, for those of you in podcast world who don't know that. He responded most strongly to Antoine Hubert's death.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, I wasn't sure I wanted to race.
Right.
Even like Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure I wanted to race. It wasn't worth it. We just drive around in circles and stuff.
Right. I remember.
Yeah. And that, I just thought that was...
He was probably just speaking off the cuff. I mean, it was emotional. It was an emotional time. Yeah. I doubt he would like stand by those words necessarily. I doubt he thinks in his heart of hearts that they're just driving around in circles.
No, I
obviously,
I,
yeah.
Yeah. But man, that's been crazy. Even though it's been a week since that. Not yet a week. It'll be a week tomorrow since Hubert's death. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I would just have of course, I'm not personally affected by it or anything, but I feel like it's only gotten more heavy in the
week. Really?
I do. Just because there's been so much news about it and talk about it. Mm-hmm. I watched an analysis of it that was very tasteful. Chain Bear F1, who's like a really well-known YouTuber, did a great, really tasteful analysis of it. He didn't show any footage, mm-hmm. He didn't, there was no
even right.
still photos of it. But anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. Very sad.
Some noise coming from outside. Yeah, really, really sad. And, like, Gasly was really his, like, best friend.
Man.
They were, like, roommates. Oh, grew up together. Mm-hmm. So he was, really close with a lot of the people involved in Formula One. It was like losing a Formula One driver, not just a Formula Two driver. But anyway, whatever. Moving on from that, that's too sad to talk about, honestly. Speaking of drivers going places, Vettel going back to Red Bull or retiring or something, Hülkenberg mm-hmm. is, like, this close to signing for Haas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because Ocon's going to Renault. We haven't talked about that
right,
yet.
Right, yeah.
Ocon going to Renault, mm-hmm. kicking Hülkenberg out, and Haas has, like, officially just, I don't know if they've officially, like, offered him, like, here's your contract, just sign here. Mm-hmm. But they've been, like, we want Hülkenberg.
Who's he replacing at Haas?
Who do you think?
Remind me again who drives for Haas.
Oh, you know.
Oh, I'm blanking.
The one driver, one of the drivers I like a lot and is awesome. Uh-huh. And one of the drivers cooks a lot and sucks.
Cooks a lot. Oh, I'm just completely... blank. I know who drives for Haas, but I can't access this information.
Grosjean.
Oh, Grosjean. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he'll replace Grosjean.
Bless his heart. Yes. Yeah, he just is not.
He's not meant for the sport. From the same cloth as the rest of the drivers.
No, he needs to go. Take his family to Disneyland.
He should.
Again.
He should cook all the meals for everyone in the paddock.
Aww.
That way he could, still be involved, but...
He could have, a little cooking show, cuisine with Grosjean.
And he can cook really fast.
Aw, cute.
Like, 2-minute meals with Roma.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great. I would watch it. Well, no, actually, I wouldn't, but... Yeah. I would appreciate it from afar.
So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, Grosjean, yeah. Okay, bye.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the cool thing, besides that I like Hülkenberg a lot, about his racing for Haas,
mm-hmm.
is that he'll race with K-Mag, whom mm-hmm. I also
K-Mag is cool.
And K-Mag was the one who told Hülkenberg to suck his balls.
Nice!
Yeah.
Of course, it's like the universe. This has all been written in the stars or something.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
We were gifted this.
I know.
We have earned it.
Great. That's amazing.
Yeah. So they've even, like, it's an open discussion, too. Like, people have asked Gunter Steiner, the Haas boss. They're mm-hmm. like, so what do you think about Hulkenberg and Magnussen just straight up not liking each other? And he's like, who cares? Drivers don't have to like each other.
Yeah. I agree with him.
Plus, he's like, they don't not like each other. He's like, that was...
Yeah, right. Suck my balls, you go.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. That was like... That was like one incident, one time, and K-Mag is just like a tough guy. Like, he even kind of said it, like, he interrupted his interview with his Danish media, you know, like, don't mm-hmm. come and interrupt my interview.
Did he? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, he was doing an interview.
I thought it was, like, over the radio or something.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
K-Mag was doing a Danish interview in his native language and mm-hmm. everything to a nice reporter and everything being normal and cordial. And Hulkenberg comes up and, like, pats him on the shoulder and, like, pretends to want to shake his hand. And K-Mag mm-hmm. doesn't buy it and, like, just turns around and looks at him, like, looks down at his hand and doesn't shake it. Hulkenberg says, once again, the most unsporting driver on the grid.
Oh.
And K-Mag just immediately just goes, suck my balls.
That's great.
Just without missing a beat.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, and he just looked him right in the eye, just without missing a beat. Just
sucked
my balls. And then Hulkenberg walked off, and I think Hulkenberg kind of said something else too, but you can't really hear what he said as he was walking off, and then came
back. I mean, that's got to kind of throw you.
When someone looks you in the eye and says that to you.
Yeah, like immediately.
Yeah, and came back turned smart around. Ass. Yeah. He turned around and looked back at the reporter and kind of gave her like, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah, right.
Look, you know, and, like, smiled and was like, well, anyway, I guess we can get on with our interview type. Anyway, we'll put the explicit rating on this podcast because I just said suck my balls like 6 times.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It happened. I'm just reporting the news.
Yeah, I guess I said it to Hugo.
Yeah, but so anyway, that'll be interesting. The other potential landing place for Hulkenberg, two other potential landing places for Hulkenberg would be Alpha.
Okay.
Because
Giovinazzi
sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alpha is like the Ferrari B team. They're kind mm-hmm. of the Toro Rosso. Oh. Toro Rosso is to Red Bull as Alpha is to Ferrari, kind mm-hmm. of. And so they're thinking if Vettel does retire the following year,
mm-hmm.
that they would have, like, a Leclerc-Hulkenberg.
Oh, wow. Ferrari. Is Hulkenberg, like, a rising star, or is he,
He's not a rising star. He's just a star. He's just, like, already good.
He's good.
He's kind of old, though.
He seems old.
He's, like, 31.
Yeah, so, but like,
that's old for a driver.
Right.
But Hulkenberg was kind of, like, when he came in, he was a lower formula champion. He mm-hmm. came into the sport like a big-time rising star.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone talked about him like, this guy's going to be a future world champion if he just ever gets into the right car.
Oh, okay.
And he just never has. He's always just driven.
Well, people can say that about any of those drivers because
Yeah, I mean, people don't talk about like...
I mean,
Lance
except for like
Stroll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Champion. Right. Or Gasly or whatever.
No.
Yeah.
There's a few people on the grid right now that people are like, Esteban Ocon,
mm-hmm.
Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, maybe George Russell, who are like mm-hmm. these guys are like world champion type talent.
Right.
Yeah. If you like put Alex Albon in a Mercedes. Yeah, maybe he wins a world championship. But look at Bottas. Bottas is in a Mercedes. He's not fixing to win a world championship.
Right. Okay.
So, like George Russell a lot.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
That's because he drives so well, yeah.
Right, I know. I know that much. And he's young.
Yeah. So what else? I don't know. That pretty much covered for the Monza preview.
Yeah.
It's outside Milan.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to tell me something interesting about the city.
Well, the city's it's very old. So it had a kind of a benefactress back in, some royalty type person. I don't know if she was like an empress or a queen. Her name was like Theodolinda or something. Sweet. Fantastic. Yeah.
Name my daughter that.
All right. Love it. And she like she kind of built a monastery and like started building a cathedral. And she died in, like, 640-something A.D., you know? So, like, it's just so old. Like, that cathedral has a bell tower that was, like, the modern edition, quote-unquote, and that was built in the 1600s. Like, yeah. So it's just, it's very ancient, of course. And, you know, the Romans lived there and whatever. It's just been, you know, continuously occupied. And, yeah, it's really cool, especially to us Americans.
Right. Yeah, we should try to go.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Be high on our list. High on my list of races to go to. Just because it's supposed to be such a cool... It's such a cool historic race.
Yeah, I gotta get some red.
I guess, yeah. You don't want to get beat up.
Yeah.
Not saying they would actually do that. That was kind of rude. But, yeah, it's supposed to be, like, inside a park, too. It's really pretty. Like, you arrive early in the morning, and it's all, like, you know, ambient, and people are riding their bikes and going for walks, and then you walk through the park, and then, like, bam, there's the race circuit, you know? So it's supposed to be kind of, like, centrally located, almost kind of like in Montreal.
Yeah, right. Yes, I was thinking of Montreal. Mm-hmm. With our swan boat. Cool, we're going to watch it from a swan boat.
Right.
I can't wait.
Meow.
We capsize. And the announcers are like, what do we have going on over here? Looks like this couple's in a little trouble.
So let's make some predictions.
Okay.
Who do you think's going to win?
I don't know. I don't like making predictions.
Who's gonna DNF? Who's going to not finish? Did not finish his DNF.
Okay.
Who's gonna DNF? Who's gonna finish 1, 2, and 3?
Oh gosh.
And who's gonna get pole?
I mean, just by virtue of having won last week and maybe you kind of getting a confidence boost and some momentum, I feel like logically it would make sense for Leclerc to get pole.
Yeah, I think Leclerc will get pole. He, by the way, he was fastest in both practice sessions.
Oh, that's right. You said yeah. So, yeah. So I'm just. I mean. So yeah. But who knows?
Yeah. So Leclerc pole, I agree with that. Okay. What about the podium?
Well, I guess if he's pole, he'll probably win. But I don't want to say that because I don't want to jinx it. You're going to make me light my candle again.
Oh, yeah. We have a Tifosi candle now, everyone.
We do. I feel like we need to light it.
Dance around it and light it halfway through the race.
We just happened to light a candle and then Leclerc won, so I'm just saying.
And it's red. It's a red candle.
It is a red candle.
And
so
we bought it at a witch store. I mean, this is no candle. This is a candle.
I mean, so, you know, I'm no scientist, but...
Obviously, we're responsible for
this. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the weird stuff we do.
So we'll be lighting that candle. And it's in a little moon. It's in a little crescent moon. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
I'm going to agree with you on Hamilton pole. I mean, Hamilton
pole. I know, you're just so used to Leclerc saying that. Pole.
And then I'm going to go Leclerc victory.
Woohoo!
I'm going to go Hamilton second.
Mm-hmm. You think Vettel's going to fluff it? It's going to be like Hamilton and Bottas, and Vettel's like somewhere random.
And it's third place is interesting because you have like Vettel, Bottas, and Max. Or
Max,
one of the Red
right.
Bulls who can
Lest we forget, he just crashed out so early last race.
Right. And now the Honda... Oh, Max is starting at the back of the grid because he's taking engine penalties. So
okay,
Max,
so he'll just be wrecking everyone else's world. Not literally wrecking.
Right. I know. Yeah. He'll be dominating. Yeah, I could see it being Leclerc, Hamilton, Vettel.
Yeah.
I don't think Vettel will finish worse than third unless something goes horribly wrong for him. Who doesn't finish?
Hopefully not Lando.
I know, I was going to say one of the Renault powered cars. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you a dollar. at least one of the Renault Power cars doesn't finish all of the laps of the race. You heard it here first.
We'll see.
Hopefully not Lando. Hopefully not Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, Monza also was the site of my personal best finish on an online sim race. I finished third.
Well, what do you know?
Podium finish.
Wow.
And I had a last lap overtake. It was super exciting. I even came in the other room and was like, hey, guess what just happened?
I'm proud of you, babe.
Thanks. Through. I'm about to tell you the story of the overtake, so just get ready. It was really awesome. We were just driving little cars, not even like barely even race cars, you know, because when you're a bad sim racer like me, you just drive like street cars. And so we come through the last chicane, which is called a Scari.
Okay.
And you come down a straight and you're heading into Parabolica, which is a long parabolic right-hander that goes onto the final long straight. So it's important that you get this. Did you guys hear that eye roll? It's important that you get that turn right. So the guy passes me in a Scari. I'm in third. He passes me in a Scari, and I'm like, ugh. So I set him up into Parabolica, break later than him, take him on the inside, and then pass him down the start finish straight.
Woohoo.
It was exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, that's like a last lap, last turn dive down the inside. I mean, you know, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited.
I'm glad.
Thanks.
I'm happy for you.
Maybe that's a good place to stop. Hugo, what do you think? You want to go to Italy?
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess that's about it.
Cool.
Thanks for coming on the pod.
Of course.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
If you like what you just heard, please like us, subscribe to us, leave a comment or a rating. Do all of the things you do for other podcasts, just do them for us. They're good for us, and they're good for you, too. I promise. Thank you. Peace.